This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
We're joined by Preston Bryant, the Secretary of Natural Resources for the Commonwealth of Virginia. Good afternoon, Mr. Secretary.
Hey, Coy. I'm happy to be with you again.
I hope you had a nice, pleasant Memorial Day weekend.
You know, I did for the most part, but I'm fighting one of those dreaded summer colds.
Oh!
So it did keep me around the house a little more than I had wanted to be.
That's the worst time to have a cold is
it
when
really
the
is.
Sun is out and it's hot. For some reason, you just feel worse than you do in the middle of winter.
Absolutely.
I don't know why that is. Hey, let's talk about a couple of things here. The first thing, Governor Kane announced today, and this has just been announced, I guess it'll be in newspapers tomorrow, but he has announced that some air quality improvements in Richmond and Hampton Roads. I'm certain this has come across your desk.
Right. Yeah, that has just been announced today, and it was announced jointly by both the governor's office and the Environmental Protection Agency. Obviously, Hampton Roads in Northern Virginia and the Richmond area are three very growing parts of the state, and air quality, especially in the summertime, when temperatures are up, have often been very difficult. These three areas, Northern Virginia, Hampton Roads, and Richmond, have been declared in years past so-called non-attainment zones, meaning we're not reaching the ozone levels that our ozone levels are too high. And so we've had to do a lot of things to try to get our ozone levels back down to a healthy level. Well, we were able to announce today, the governor was, that Richmond and Hampton Roads has achieved those levels. We still have North Virginia to go, of course, and we're making very good progress. In years past, I mean, the Shenandoah Valley, the Shenandoah National Park, that area had ozone levels that were too high, and we eventually were able to get those back down to healthy levels. And primarily, in your neck of the woods, the Shenandoah Valley, the Shenandoah National Park, it's got Interstate 81 running through it. So there was a lot of vehicle emissions that was creating unhealthy ozone. The Fredericksburg area and the Roanoke areas were two others that had high ozone levels, and we've been able to get them back down as well. But today's announcement, to be able to announce that the Richmond area and Hampton Roads have are no longer in a non-attainment classification, and instead they are now in attainment classifications, is really a big deal, and we're very pleased.
Secretary of Natural Resources Preston Bryant is my guest, and the phone lines are open, folks, at 977-1070. There's a lot of folks who are new to Virginia who have moved down, whether from New York or Minnesota. We get a lot of folks who recognize that this is an ideal place to live, especially here in the Charlottesville area. And in the summertime, they may look at the Blue Ridge and think that that is summer haze, but a lot of that is pollution on the
Exactly.
Blue Ridge.
Exactly. A lot of it is pollution, ozone. And that part of the state is also subject to power plant emissions that get in the Ohio River Valley or in West Virginia. They get caught up in the westerlies, and they blow our way. So that's been part of the issue as well. But primarily in these urbanized areas, it's generally cars and trucks, mobile sources, they call them, but really cars and trucks.
Let's talk about the Virginia Environmental Excellence Program, or VEEP. What is this?
Well, VEEP is in its seventh year, the Virginia Environmental Excellence Program. It is operated by the Virginia Department of Environmental Quality. And what VEEP is, quite frankly, is an incentive program for businesses and industries, both large and small, to go beyond compliance, is a good way to put it, to invest in environmental procedures and policies and into disposal procedures of whatever your product may be, going beyond just what is the bare minimum. And there are three levels, so-called E2, E3, and E4, E2 being the first rung on the ladder. And if someone, meets those standards, the E2, and DEQ judges them to have met the E2 requirements, and then you demonstrate that you have sustained, you've been a good actor, you're sustaining those high levels of environmental protection, in your manufacturing process or whatever business you may have, then DEQ will grant you some regulatory flexibility. You know, they may lighten up the way in which you are required to report certain emissions data or whatever the case may be. And then if you keep going and you reach E3 and then ultimately E4, which is the highest, you know, you get you're granted more regulatory flexibility within the bounds of the law with each step along the way. And it's been a very, very successful program.
So the idea is to use, are we talking about market solutions to environmental problems where we can sort of set it up so that a company can actually benefit by instituting or implementing environmentally friendly standards or operations in their company?
Oh, sure. I mean, this requires some investment of hard dollars and time and resources on their part, again, to get their operations, their environmental management system, if you will, in a position to where it's going beyond compliance, it's going beyond the bare minimum. But often what industries are finding out is the regulatory flexibility that they are then granted for having demonstrated that they are a good actor, also brings about cost savings. And so when you balance one against the other, often you can at least save money, if not make a dollar or two. And we have big and small businesses in the program. Blue Ridge Community College, just up the road from you in Weir's Cave, the Blue Ridge Community College Coffee Corner, their little coffee shop, has achieved E2 status. The University of Virginia Dining Hall Operations has achieved E2 status. The City of Stanton, its wastewater treatment plant, the City of Stanton's Public Works Department, they've all adopted policies and procedures that go beyond minimum environmental compliance, and as a result, they are granted greater flexibility. But it's not just small companies. Just last week, I traveled out to southern Chesterfield County, where Philip Morris USA, which employs thousands and thousands of people and has a huge, very complex manufacturing operation, obviously, they have achieved in various operations E2 and E3, and now they are working on E4. There are about 300 companies in the VEET program that have qualified at one level or another. But the E3 and E4, they're less than 20% of that 300. But it's a growing program. It's very popular. And we are very much encouraging others to inquire and get involved.
Do we have anything? Preston Bryan is our guest, Secretary of Natural Resources. Do we have anything here in Virginia that's like some kind of big tax breaks for these companies who go above and beyond in this regard?
Excuse me. Well, not tax breaks per se for doing this, but there are, for example, sales tax and other tax incentives for buying or investing in environmental control equipment. When some manufacturing concern is going to upgrade their equipment, and they buy the latest, greatest, most technologically advanced environmental equipment, environmental-friendly equipment, there are tax incentives and tax breaks that go along with those equipment purchases. So we do reward folks and encourage folks in that respect.
Explain to us the recent news that Governor Kaine had signed Virginia onto the climate registry. What is that and what does this mean?
Yeah, he also announced that, I guess it was last week, the climate registry, and that's what it's called, the climate registry, is the only state-driven, multi-state-driven initiative on greenhouse gas emissions. The purpose of it is to establish, for a lot of states to get together, right now there are like 32 or 33 states who have signed on to this, to get together and come up with a common way to report, assess, and track greenhouse gas emissions. If you have a barefoot power plant reporting its emissions using one methodology, and Bryant Power Plant reporting its emissions with another methodology, you can see how it's hard to judge. And often businesses that are, whether it's a power plant or a manufacturing facility that is emitting greenhouse gases. You know, this is, you know, curbing greenhouse gas emissions is getting to be very, very politically popular thing to do. And really, folks want to be able to tout what they've done. They want to be able to raise the flag. But if I'm reporting it one way and you're reporting it another way, and there's no, you know, kind of apples to oranges comparisons, how are you really able to tout all the good that you have done? You know, what standard are you judging it by to raise your flag? And so there are a lot of benefits in that respect. I mean, it for businesses to get involved. To adopt a common reporting or accounting system of greenhouse gas emissions. It's not meant to be tied to any particular policy that state policymakers may make, whether it's a voluntary reporting program or a more regulatory, hammer-on-the-head type reporting program. It's simply to have good, verifiable, commonly assessed data that can be applied to support policymakers in any decision they make in terms of curbing or controlling greenhouse gas emissions in their states.
Just to make sure that we're all on the same page and we're talking apples to apples here.
Exactly.
Makes all the sense in the world.
Absolutely. It's a very good thing. It's a very good thing. And it has lots of benefits, not only to states, but also the businesses, the industries that will adopt a common reporting system. I mean, it's why would they not want to everybody report using one common system and set of guidelines?
Preston Bryant is the Secretary of Natural Resources. And what do you have on deck this summer?
Well, I just got back, interestingly. I spent 10 days in Iceland. I went on a trip by myself and I drove the 900-mile ring road around the island, and I hiked alongside lots of fjords, and I climbed craters and went down into them, and it was just a great, great experience. I had been in years past. My wife and I went a couple of years ago, and I wanted to go back just to Reykjavik, and I wanted to go back and see the rest of the country. My wife was a little, she said, you know, been there, done that, you go enjoy. her idea, let's just put it this way, her idea of a vacation is not spending 10 days in a car with me at the top of the world in 30-degree weather. But as a reward for her, we're also going to go out to Southern California, as we do every year, and see some friends who live in the Santa Monica area and live about 100 steps off the beach.
Oh, terrific. Preston Bryant, the Secretary of Natural Resources for the Commonwealth of Virginia. It's always an honor, sir. Have a great summer.
I enjoy being with you always.
We'll talk to you soon. This interview will be archived in its entirety on the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, SevillePodcast.com. A break here at the bottom of the hour for local news and weather. We're back with Chris Gates, former president of the National Civic League. This is Charlottesville Right Now.
People always told me I was a good cook, but I never thought much.
You've been listening to WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. The show can be heard every Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 o'clock on News Radio 1070 WINA. This is the Charlottesville Podcasting Network at SevillePodcast.com. If you enjoyed the show, why not check out our site for hours and hours of archives of Coy's show? You'll also find other radio programs, arts features, public affairs coverage, and more.